QNN also produces two interview series, one with candidates in the 2006 elections, the other with special guests. For more information, go to qualitynewsnetwork.com. If you are hearing this message during normal broadcast hours, a technical problem, natural disaster, Network at
Quality News Network. In the Gaza Strip, Israeli airstrikes continue today. More than 30 targets have been hit. The Palestinian Prime Minister claims that Israel's offensive is part of a premeditated plan to take down the Hamas-led government. Israel has also reportedly kidnapped and arrested 8 cabinet members and 50 other Hamas officials. Israel says it is increasing the pressure to free an Israeli soldier who was kidnapped earlier this week in a cross-border raid. In Baghdad, the U.S. Army is investigating the deaths of 4 Iraqi civilians in a town south of Baghdad in March. One of the 5 accused soldiers has reportedly been arrested after admitting his role in the incident. The other 4 soldiers have been confined to a base and their weapons have been taken away. Also in Iraq, the Prime Minister will leave tomorrow for his first trip abroad with stops in Saudi Arabia, the United Arab Emirates, and Kuwait. The tour is part of a plan to promote his national reconciliation to curb sectarian violence. Osama bin Laden has reportedly released an internet audio tape praising Abu Musab al-Zarqawi, the al-Qaeda in Iraq leader who was killed by U.S. forces earlier this month. He also vowed that al-Qaeda would continue to fight the U.S. and its allies everywhere. USA Today reports that the NSA phone call database is not as widespread as first reported last month. Today, the newspaper said that Verizon and Bell South deny that they provided customer phone records to the National Security Agency, as the paper had earlier claimed. In Washington, the Bush administration may not meet its goal of placing 2,500 National Guardsmen on the U.S.-Mexico border by today's scheduled deadline. Reports from military officials in the 4 states say that fewer than 1,000 troops are in place. However, the National Guard head insists that that goal would be met by today, and he disputes that tally. In Memphis, Tennessee today, President Bush and the First Lady took visiting Japanese Prime Minister to the Elvis Presley home in Graceland. The Japanese Prime Minister, who is leaving office in September, has been one of the President's strongest supporters in world affairs. The United States is insisting that Iran respond to the Western incentives offer to halt its nuclear program by the deadline of next week. Iranian officials insist that they need more time to reply. And in Kuwait, the parliamentary election results show that no woman won any seat. You are listening to the Quality News Network.
Divorce is never a pleasant experience, but it doesn't have to be a tragedy. If you can rein in the emotions, step back from the anger and victimhood, you can end your marriage with dignity instead of hostility. You married with the best of intentions. Now you need to untie the marital knot with the same mutual respect. Choose collaboration instead of confrontation. Stop wasting money on lawyers. Don't drag this out for 5 years. A collaborative divorce is better for the children, family, and friends. Collaboration costs a fraction of a contended divorce and can be done within weeks rather than the months or years. An award-winning documentary called Divorce Collaborative Style explains how you can end your marriage fairly and efficiently. For less than what a lawyer charges to answer one simple question, you can get all the answers from Divorce Collaborative Style. Go to collaborativedivorce.tv and order your DVD today. If it's over, end it right. Collaborativedivorce.tv.
The Commerce Department reports that consumer spending slowed in May. The government report cites rising gasoline prices as the reason for the slowdown. However, the University of Michigan survey of consumer sentiment shows an increase in June. The report reveals a higher than expected gain for the month. President Bush has nominated a Columbia University professor to serve on the Federal Reserve. A Medicaid rule that goes into effect tomorrow requires that a person must prove their citizenship, for example, by showing a passport or birth certificate before applying or re-enrolling for benefits. An estimated 50 million poor Americans will be affected by the rule, which is aimed at cutting fraud by illegal immigrants. Drug maker Bayer says it will sell its diagnostic operations to Siemens in a more than $5 billion deal. Pending approval, it is expected to close in early 2007. The FDA has granted approval for the first generic version of the top-selling antidepressant Zoloft. An Israeli pharmaceutical company plans to make the generic version of the Pfizer drug, whose patent expires tomorrow. Microsoft has announced it will cut about 5% of its sales force to boost its competitiveness. However, the company plans to hire an additional 66 sales workers, and those who have been cut can apply for the new positions. Lake Sweet crude is trading at $73.93, and on Wall Street at this hour, the Dow is down 12 points, the Nasdaq down 2. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Allie Dramov. It's now 5 minutes past the hour.
This is a top to what we use on stage, but it's very, very special because if you can see, the numbers all go to 11. Look, right across the board, 11, 11,
and most of
11,
the amps go up to 10.
Exactly.
Does that mean it's louder? Is it any louder?
Well, it's one louder, isn't it? It's not 10. You see, most blokes are going to be playing at 10. You're on 10 here, all the way up, all the way up, all the way up. You're on 10 on your guitar. Where can you go from there? Where?
I don't know.
Nowhere, exactly. What we do is if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to 11.
11, exactly. One louder.
Why don't you just make 10 louder and make 10 be the top number and make that a little louder?
These go to 11.
Welcome to Conversation Radio's Night Shift, where the children of the night fight the radical right. It's Foxed Up with John Fox. Foxed Up is brought to you by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. They're building the American dream every day. Be one louder by calling 877, the number 4, head on. That's 877-443-2366.
Second or third hour, we're going to do a few other things. We're going to talk some green news. We're going to do heaps. As usual, we're chatting at headonradionetwork.com. You can get in on the program by dialing into 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. And you can email me, John, at fourthestateradio.com. Where to start? Well, I think we should start with the fact that, one, this is the final show for this little test run of Foxed Up, but we will be back soon for a full-time run. But this has been a really, really great little bit of an experiment this week. But being that next week is Independence Day in the United States, that would be the spam clip there, Bob. And I'm going to just go straight to the first stop of the day, which is treehugger.com. And you'll see links to this on my show post today at headonradionetwork.com. And their little post today is Treehugger Picks, Celebrate Energy Independence. And as they say here, it's a big holiday weekend in the U.S. and Canada with celebrations of independence and federation happening near and far. Here at Treehugger Nation, we like to celebrate Energy Independence Day as well. Here are some of our picks for celebrating without foreign oil, dirty power, or too many carbon emissions. One, boycott Exxon and take a roll on a solar-powered, and take a ride on a solar-powered electric bike instead. I like that one. For you diesel drivers, pick up some biodiesel like Willie Nelson's brand. It's made domestically. Number three, change a light bulb or two of them from incandescent to compact fluorescent. It really does make a difference. You'd be surprised. In fact, one of the Australian energy companies thought it was such a good idea that they spent 2 days in all the central train stations just giving away six-pack boxes of them. They figured it was a way to help bring the load on what is sometimes a very, very, feeble grid here in Sydney. Always amazes me how the poorer western suburbs tend to go out first, but hey, I don't know. Anyway, number four on their list of things to do about thinking green and independent for this Independence Day week coming up, read up on going off the grid and then take the first baby step. And they've got a couple of links there to take you to some interesting stuff. And I spoke about ideas about getting off the grid earlier this week. And here is one of my, and the last one is my personal favorite, buy some locally grown organic food. It tastes better, it's better for you and the producer and the planet. And this is the kind of stuff that we need to do. So first thing, though, that I'm going to do, before moving on, and I'm going to do a little bit of audio here from a show in Australia called The Chaser. Now, I did some stuff from the Glass House the other night. This is the other Australian current events / comedy kind of thing. And as far as I understand, these guys are a bunch of media students who ended up developing the show for the ABC. And you can see clips from the program at abc.net.au/chaser. But we all get spam. And these guys like to just do the old what if. So just roll it, Bob. The Chaser on Spam.
Now, if there's one thing I really hate, it's spam emails. I get them all the time, and normally, like anyone, I just delete them. But then I thought, what would happen if you actually replied to a spam email? For instance, let me show you this email I got the other day from...
This is Rita Abed.
Who apparently, get this, is the wife of the former chief security officer for the president of Liberia. And this will surprise you. Rita was looking for...
a trustworthy individual abroad to receive the sum of US $10 million and 25 kilograms worth of diamond.
I know. And amazingly, out of all the people in the world she could have contacted, she decided to ask me to help her out. Amazing. So I thought I'd mess with her a bit. I replied straight away, saying that I'd do whatever I could to help out. But I also asked for a photo of both her and her children. Within hours, Rita wrote back to me, although she was a little shy about the photo.
You ask so many questions. Why not trust?
It seems Rita wasn't too interested in giving me her personal details, although she was plenty interested in getting mine. So I gave her some extra info she hadn't counted on. I said, the truth is I felt myself falling in love with you. At first I thought it was just a crush, but now I realise it could be nothing short of the deepest passion. Unfortunately, Rita wasn't much in the mood for romance.
I want you to know that I am not here for loving stories or news.
Although, thankfully, she wasn't totally closed off to love.
It will be hard for me to discuss love if you don't give me your contact details.
You see? All I had to do for our love to blossom was give her my banking details. Who would have thought? but I wasn't going to be distracted by such trivialities. I was way too busy trying to get her to elope with me. Alas, she wouldn't have a bar of it. But while the love connection wasn't going so well, 2 emails later, she finally sent me that photo. That's right, just look at her. She's the very picture of African womanhood. In fact, when I looked up African woman in Yahoo Images, she was right there at the top. I was so overjoyed, I just had to write back to my darling honey bunny cutie pie, Rita, asking her, would you like a winter 06 wedding or a summer 07 one? Unfortunately, it seems I pushed her a bit too hard because the very next day, tragedy struck.
Thank you for your kind emails, but I don't think you are serious for this transaction. If only you were more trust, we might have been.
Right on the eve of our wedding, Rita got cold feet. And all because I wasn't trust enough. I was devastated. I thought I'd never love again, but then, 2 days later, I opened up my inbox, and there he was.
Prince Mike Kamarov of Cote d'Ivoire.
Ooh, a prince. I replied to him immediately, and I reckon this time, we're going all the way.
Oh, those guys are brilliant. This is another one of those things that just wouldn't happen in Australia aside from on the old ABC. And when we come back from a break that we'll hit in a minute or two here, I've got another bit of audio just to let you again know that Australia knows all too much about America's most religious wackos. But in the next clip that we'll play after the break, just kind of listen to the audience. There's a little bit of hesitation. They hadn't heard Old Phelps before. Very, very interesting. But anyway, you can check those guys out at, like I said, abc.net.au/chaser. And that's the Chaser's War on Everything. Geez, we got so much lined up here, and it's really nice on this particular day. I have my local producer, the wonderful, my lovely partner, Gail, who loaded me up with so much stuff. I'm having trouble going through and picking where to start. But got a few things to talk about. We're going to talk about the fact that the House is shredding the offshore drilling moratorium. Energy Week produces just a single bill that ignores solutions and would industrialize our coasts. We've got also, a little bit later, also from the Common Dreams Newswire, senators cut environmental and health programs to lowest level in a century. How's that make you feel? You know, it's opposite world. It's opposite world. You know, people I know will tell me that they're doing so well with the environment, them bushies. But you and I know better. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Boxed Up for a Friday Night here on the Head On Radio Network.
Guy James, host of The Guy James Show. If you like factual, hard-hitting, liberal radio, yes, I said liberal, then I believe you'll like our show. We're a proud member of the Head On Radio Network, heard Monday through Friday, 3 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time at theguyjamesshow.com. You heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth.
Ready?
No.
Ready?
Not.
Your body's been ready for quite some time.
Not.
Ready? But not your mind.
Ready?
Not.
Ready?
No way. You have lots to do before you have a baby. But don't forget to take folic acid today and every day to prevent birth defects one special day. So when all of you is ready, that baby of yours will be ready to take on the world.
Ready?
Not.
Ready.
Hi, my name is Joanne, and I have mannequinism. Well, I did have it, but I'm not a mannequin anymore. Doctors said over 75% of my body turned into plastic. They said it's because I wasn't active in my community. Because I didn't vote or volunteer or I don't know. All I wanted to do was cry, but I couldn't because I had plastic eyes.
Protect yourself from mannequinism. Log on to fightmannequinism.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Native American culture has helped shape many things, from the structure of the U.S. government to the foods we eat at the dinner table. But where Indians lack presence are newsrooms. I'm Brian Bull of the Nez Perce Tribe of Idaho and a member of the Native American Journalists Association. Please go to naja.com and learn how you can join. We need people familiar with Native culture to tell our stories and set the record straight against stereotypes and misperceptions. Naja, raising the next generation of storytellers.
Everybody, welcome back to Foxed Up here on a Friday night. And good night, Peter. Thank you for everything you do as you take off and finish off your long day. I would be saying good night to the one, the only Peter Godbold, who keeps the bits flying for us here at the Horn. Okay, we're going to move on to our next bit of audio. Also, on with the Chaser Boys last night, I didn't expect these guys to go here, but they did. They brought up old Phelpsy and his God Hates Fags bit. And when we run the piece here, just listen to the audience not quite know how to react for a moment. But and then also it leads into, I told you that these guys also do a segment where they have a correspondent in the United States, and it leads into a segment with him where he shows up at one of Phelps's rallies. And watch what happens when an Australian starts poking. Go ahead.
Now, if there's one thing I really hate, it's spam emails. I get them all the time, and normally, like anyone... weird religions in the world these days, and Chris, I don't think they get much weirder than the Westboro Baptist Church in America.
Oh, they are out there. They're definitely out there, these guys. If you haven't heard of them, here's just a little sample by way of introduction. Now, this is the sermon their leader, Fred Phelps, gave just 3 days after September 11.
And how many do you suppose of those 130 or so that died in the Pentagon were fags and dykes? It's very likely that every last single one of them was a fag or a dyke or a fag enabler. This evil nation has smeared fag feces blended with fag semen and dyke feces on the Bible.
Mm. Now, I'm not sure if you picked up on it there, but these guys are a little anti-gay.
No.
No, they are, really. And if you want to find out more about these lunatics, you can check out their websites, godhatesfags.com, godhatesamerica.com, and godhatesweden.com. There's a theme emerging there, Chris.
And the group's latest crusade is to pick at the funerals of US soldiers who they hate because they defend the interests of a gay-loving country.
Mm. Now, Fox News took particular umbrage at this. You see, it's not every day that someone can make Fox News defend gays. But somehow, when Fred Phelps' daughter went on Fox, she achieved the unthinkable.
This nation is full of idolatry, full of adultery,
full of insane
fornication.
People like yourself,
ma'am. You're proud. You're proud of your sins. Mm. You can't do enough sinning. You think gay pride, bimbo.
Oh, okay.
Have sinned away your day of grace.
Okay, you are
America
an abomination.
America is doomed.
If America's doomed, then why don't you get out?
Who would have thought the standard debate on Fox could get any lower?
Well, She wasn't the only journalist to face off against the Westboro Baptist Church, because our very own Charles Firth was so impressed by this group's message of love and tolerance that he went along to one of these funeral pickets to meet them for himself.
So what do you say to critics who say God loves everyone?
Well, I say they don't know anything about the Bible and they're lying.
You've got a lovely sort of voice. Do you think that helps get your message across?
Well, that's the first person that's ever told me that, but no, I don't. But
your accent is really sort of quite nice. It seems to be some sort of connection between us. I mean, you're a very nice, tall man. And you must have lots of fans. Like, how many fans do you have?
None that I know of. It's whether homosexuals should marry. That's the main issue. That's, they're arguing that early and often.
Can you just give me a look?
Can I give you a look?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Because you've got a really nice butt. Like, it's a really nice butt. And I don't know, you just have this sort of beautiful way.
Hey, Cheryl.
The way of holding yourself.
Why is this guy touching me on the butt, just, patting me?
You know, in Australia, we actually...
You've got a pervert on your hand.
No, I'm just admiring you. I just think...
Excuse me, that happens to be my husband. You need to get away.
There's a real connection between us.
From a distance.
Oh, yeah, no, I will admire him from a distance.
Okay.
His buttocks were really firm. It's just, don't deny that you didn't give me a look. I saw that look.
All right, then.
God has brought us together. God has brought us together, Fred.
Get your hands off him,
but,
you pervert.
He's irresistible. That's the problem. You're denying our love. This is something that's beautiful.
Have a nice day,
they were just so firm.
How's that? that's the guys from The Chaser, and they do put clips from the shows on their website. And I would imagine, I caught this off the broadcast, but I would imagine that this would have to be one of the clips that's up there. So you can go to abc.net.au/chaser. And, and when you watch the video, you'll see his, you know, as their correspondent, you know, he's talking to this big redneck and kind of like leaning his head around to like have a look at his bum. It was hysterical, and he was just making this big old fat redneck really, really uncomfortable. And then his inbred looking wife just, you pervert, nah, 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 nah. Oh, it was great. Anyway, I so love the Chaser has every week a little bit of a moment in America. And they do a brilliant job with it. So, there you go. There you go. Just what I get, I lose hope with Australia's government and its policies and its nose straight up the rear end of George Bush. These little bits of things just give me a little bit of hope. And I'm being told that we have some breaking news coming in. We'll bring that up and see what that's all about. Thank you, Ben. Let's see. What is this? Okay. Breaking railroad news. City of New Orleans and others cut by Amtrak? My, that's not good. You know, they really are trying to just make it impossible for the average person to even travel, aren't they? I remember when Amtrak was the great railroad of the United States, where the average citizen could take their family and go off, if this is what you're sending me, Ben. But anyway, I do believe that we're getting close to the end of the first half hour of Foxed Up here for a Friday night. Later on the program, Lori Irvine is going to be on the program to talk to us about the revolt against John Howard here in Australia, mostly over immigration issues and policy. And I bet he's hanging out in the chat room. He is longtime friend of the Horn. We got so much to get into, and here I'm getting thrown curveballs. I'm going to look in, when we take a break, I'm going to look into this story that Ben's just sent instead of taking time to try and muddle through it here. So, anyway, before we go out, I just wanted to talk about this thing with the senators and environmental programs. Anyone tells you that we're actually, you know, doing more? Sorry, it's wrong. The Senate Appropriations Committee today undermined critical programs that protect public health and environment and budget cuts that may irreparably harm the health and safety of our citizens and economy, according to the Natural Resources Defense Council. The committee action came in a unanimous vote on a fiscal year 2007 funding bill that set the lowest funding levels for environmental programs in this century. The panel's cuts were not as deep as those proposed by President Bush or adopted by the House, but they are reductions nevertheless, and their potential consequences are serious. No one be fooled, said Heather Taylor, the NRDC's deputy legislative director. The price tag on the interior of related agencies' appropriations bill for FY07, approved by committees, was $26.1 billion, down from last year's spending of $26.3 billion. The Bush administration had recommended 25.5, and the House approved 25.9. We should be spending a whole lot more than we are. Need to spend a whole lot more than we are. Anyway, we're getting out on the bottom of the hour. You're listening to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network. We'll be back after a couple of messages. Don't forget, you can get on the program by dialing in to 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. And we'll see you right after this.
Speaking of thievery,
yes,
just want to let you know that Alistair Cook, okay, last year, right,
yes,
he died of lung cancer that spread to his bones. He was 95 years old. Apparently, his bones have been or were stolen. Apparently, there's a ring of people out there that steal bones. They steal these bones and they make dental implants. Apparently, now he had cancer all in his bones, right? But the people who stole the bones rewrote the paperwork to make it look like he died of a heart attack. So now there's somebody else walking around out there with his diseased, cancerous bones in their body.
That is freaky.
Yeah, but I just thought it was so.
Oh my God.
I thought it was so ghoulish.
It just freaks me out. Anyway. Hey, don't forget to join Bruce and I Saturday, 10 p.m. Eastern Time, for the next edition of Fourth Estate Radio. Get the streaming details at fourthestateradio.com. That's fourthestateradio.com.
Every 3 minutes, another woman gets the news that she has breast cancer. And here are some of the first words she hears. HER2 new oncogene, aromatase inhibitor, ductal carcinoma in situ. What do these words mean? How are you going to decide what to do if you can't even say what you have? This is Olivia Newton-John. As soon as you get your diagnosis, you can go to breastcancer.org. It's a special place on the internet where you can learn how to say all those breast cancer words and find out what they mean. At breastcancer.org, you can learn more about your particular kind of cancer and your treatment options. Prepare a list of questions for your next doctor's visit and get all kinds of other useful information to guide you and your family through this. Breastcancer.org, the first place to go the minute you find out you have breast cancer.
Dog attacks and dog bites come in all sizes. Think your dog doesn't bite? Don't be so sure. Dog attacks are one of the nation's most commonly reported public health problems. Francia Smith, consumer advocate for the U.S. Postal Service.
With the summer heat and children out of school, the dog bite risk gets worse. But with a little care, dog owners can prevent most attacks and protect themselves too. from the serious legal, financial, and emotional consequences that often result. Over half the dog bite victims are children. Any dog can bite for the first time, even with the owner there. So whether you are a dog owner or not, please take the time to learn about dog safety. Visit USPS.com and type the words dog bite into the search box for the links you need. You'll be glad you did.
This message is provided as a public service by this station and the U.S. Postal Service.
Welcome back to Fox Up, everybody. Oh, man, Bob, you're doing it again. You're doing it again. The tunes are just a-rockin'. Okay, now I got my head around what was being sent to me there before we went off to the break. According to Trains.com, which is Trains Magazine, it's being reported that Amtrak is cutting from Monday... Someone doesn't know how to write a date. But in 180 days, they're going to remove the following services. Trains are the Texas Eagle, the City of New Orleans, and the Cardinal are going off. I mean, these are great classic trains. I mean, this is the public infrastructure. Why are we doing this? I mean, Over the last couple of decades, the Republicans have worked very hard to destroy Amtrak. And it's probably been more due to lobbying influence from the airlines. Because, you know, they want all this stuff to be private so that it can go to private profits. But that's not what Amtrak's supposed to be about. And so are they using the fact that they decided to let New Orleans get destroyed as a way to just say, well, you know, no population there anymore, no blink the term, then we can just cut it. This stuff just drives me nuts. So now, you have to, you know, our buddy Joe Vecchio, he's moving this week from Georgia up to somewhere up near Chicago, from what I understand. Now, you know, I'm not even sure how he was traveling, whether he was going Greyhound, you know, what. But, you know, I would think that a train would have been one of the options that he would have thought of, being that I know that he doesn't have a car. You know, what is this... It to me, it's just one of those things that feels like they just want to pull more and more kind of liberty via public infrastructure away from the average American. It's sad. It's really sad. I love trains. Always did when I was a kid. I had an N-gauge set up. You know, everybody else had O-gauge and HO, you know, those big things. But we had like a... You know, an N-gauge, you know, cars are like all, you know, 2.5 to 3 inches long. Great little details, had a great little steam engine, a couple of little steam engine ones that puffed out little things of steam, you know, and in a workbench table, you could have like, you know, almost like an entire county. So I think it's really, really sad that they're doing this, you know. It's really too bad. Going to make it a whole lot harder for a whole bunch of displaced New Orleanians to get back home now, isn't it? You tell me. Okay. Enough of that, but thank you for that, Ben. And there's actually a Democratic Underground where the Post was for this. There are lyrics to the song The City of New Orleans. And yes, Ben, I agree. That, I think, needs to get into the porn bumper rotation. I think that'd be a really, really cool idea. Anyway, getting back to the lack of spending on public health and environmental programs. Going back to this piece from Common Dreams, to cite just one example of an ill-conceived program cut, the Senate reduced funding that supports America's water infrastructure from $886 million to $687 million, the lowest level in a decade. At the same time, the bill contained a rider that, for the first time, legislatively exempts many timber sales from public comment and appeal. Excuse me? Pardon me? Says one ray of sunshine came when the committee adopted an amendment by Senators Dianne Feinstein and Judd Gregg that would stop the giveaway of billions of dollars in taxpayer funds to oil companies. Okay. The measure already adopted by the House would recoup $10 billion in lost royalties because many oil companies have been drilling in waters owned by all Americans without paying for those rights under leases awarded in 1998 and 1999. The amendment would bar such companies from bidding on future leases. Are you hearing this? Are you hearing this? We were paying $10 billion to the oil companies while they're not paying their royalty rights for being able to just drill and print free money and rip you off. Ah. Thank you, Bruce Birch. If you'd like to contact Amtrak about its cutting of the these three classic trains and lines, you can ring Amtrak at 1-800-USA-RAIL. That's 1-800-USA-RAIL. Thank you, Bruce Birch. I really think that's just criminal. And just to finish off this piece from Common Dreams, with oil prices sky high, it's long past time for Congress to end royalty relief for big oil and stop lining the industry's already deep pockets. Thank you very much, Mr. Taylor. All right. Another interesting kind of thing that's out, and where, you know, I'm sorry, the one of the worst polluters in the world is the military. The Sierra Club is suing the Pentagon over a wind farm. The Sierra Club sued the Department of Defense on Wednesday, saying its failure to complete a key study has stopped construction of more than a dozen wind farms in the Midwest. Defense Secretary Donald H. Rumsfeld and the Pentagon missed a May deadline for a study on which the wind farms interfere with military radar, according to the suit filed in U.S. District Court in San Francisco. Federal Aviation Administration has halted projects in Minnesota, Wisconsin, Illinois, North Dakota, and South Dakota until the agency can determine their impact on the radar. The end result is the wind industry is being crippled, said Kristen Henry, attorney of the Sierra Club. The Department of Defense and Homeland Security announced in March they would contest any proposed wind turbines that fell within the radar field of view for long-range air defense systems. Our goal is not to put up roadblocks to these wind farms, but preserve the safety of our airspace. Delayed construction on wind farms could make developers ineligible for federal tax credits until the end of 2007. A little too convenient, they just missed the deadline. And, yeah, okay, my wonderful local producer just decided to throw in, and why is Guantanamo being run on wind power then? See where this doesn't might not add up? Wind power seems to be all fine to keep the illegal detentions running. Did you know that? Did you know that Guantanamo ran on wind power? But that same defense arm of our government is complaining that it interferes with their radar. You reckon they got some radar at Guantanamo? I reckon they do. Ah, and a little bit of the Horn family is about to grow by one officially. One of our chatters is going to take on the unbelievably heavy role of researcher and chief blogger. And we will announce his particular screen name when we launch him next week. But at the moment, our researcher is on hold with Amtrak to corroborate that little story that we had before. Ha ha ha. Check it out. The Horn is going to soon become your source not just for conversation radio, but real news. There's going to be some new things happening on the website over the next week. And you'll just have to pop on by to see the changes as they arrive. But we don't have a confirmation yet. But anyway, we'll look at that. So, I mean, think about that. Think about that. They blow off getting a study in. What? For what reason? You know? Seems like it's working okay there down in Guantanamo there for you with the old wind power. I find that one just really, really fascinating. Did they want to make sure that they could continue to run that if the oil ran out? Is that how long they're planning on running this sick, disgusting exercise that is the destruction of a rock? And I'm allowed to announce that it's Frozian Soul, very, very popular guy in our chat room, is now officially the Horn's chief blogger. And you'll start seeing his activity at headonradionetwork.com starting next Monday, I'm hoping. And that would be Gene from Oregon, and you've heard him ring into many shows on the Horn. And I'm telling you, we always talk about this guy. You know who he is. We always talk about this guy because he just sends us all stuff that we just don't find, and it's all great stuff. So we invited him on, and he's diving in feet first. No? Oh, geez. What have I done? Anyway, we got to go cut out to a break here, and we're going to pick it up with some more. Oh, I got some more stuff on what's going to happen with around the UK with the Gulf Stream. I've been talking about that for the last couple of weeks. And we'll be right back here with Foxed Up on the Head On Radio Network.
The Head On Radio Network is brought to you every night by the Carpenters and Millwrights. The Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters is a portion of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Joiners of America, or more commonly called the Carpenters Union. The millwrights are a very specialized craft that perform their work with highly sensitive equipment and perform much of their work on machinery like turbines, laser alignment, and other highly specialized tools. We would like to thank the Carpenters and Millwrights for their support, because freedom of speech is free. And it's brought to you by the Carpenters and Millwrights, working hard every day to provide a brighter future. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
Think you have driving skills? Challenge at drivingskillsforlife.com. Earn rewards like free music downloads. Driving skills for life.
Melting polar ice was a dirty look. Shrinking glaciers, a nudge. Then dying coral reefs pushed us hard rising ocean temperatures and extreme weather. An uppercut. Then record-breaking heat waves hit us right where it hurts. Has it occurred to anyone that maybe the Earth is trying to get our attention?
We can still reduce greenhouse gas pollution. To find out how, go to fightglobalwarming.com. Brought to you by Environmental Defense, the Robertson Foundation, and the Ad Council.
We often hear claims Muslims don't condemn terrorism.
And that Islam condones violence.
As Muslims, we want to state clearly
that those who commit acts of terror in the name of Islam are betraying the teachings of the Quran and the Prophet Muhammad.
We reject anyone of any faith who commits such brutal acts.
And will not allow our faith to be hijacked by criminals.
Islam is not about hatred and violence. It's about peace and justice.
Right on. Welcome back. It's Friday night on Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network. Just going to kick straight back into some more green-type news, or not-so-green-type news or environmental stuff. And don't forget, you can get in on the program 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Or email me, john@4thestateradio.com. And 4th Estate Radio will be on tomorrow evening as per usual. I had referred to this earlier in the week, but I didn't have anything actually in front of me. I was going from memory. So here's the poop. Global warming may lead to colder winters in Britain. Greenland's melting glaciers have the power to change Britain's climate because of the way they can interfere with the Gulf Stream of the North Atlantic, which keeps winters relatively mild. Scientists have found the first hard evidence to show that this actually happened 8,200 years ago when the climate in parts of the Northern Hemisphere cooled dramatically after a period of global warming, like where we are now. Paradoxically, a warmer world could lead to harsher winters in Britain because of the way that melting freshwater from the Greenland ice cap can interfere with the saltwater engine that drives the Gulf Stream. The scientists found that 8,200 years ago, the North Atlantic current slowed down at a time when a freshwater lake, which had formed from the melting glaciers of the last ice age, flooded into the sea. They believe that the lake released so much freshwater it diluted the surface water of the sea and so slowed down the warm North Atlantic currents, which are generated by the sinking of cold, salty water. The 8,200-year-old event is the most recent abrupt climate change event and by far the most extreme cooling episode in the past 10,000 years. Mark Chapman, a paleoclimatologist at the University of East Anglia in Norwich, said...
What is that?
Norwich, I've been corrected. The study published in the journal Science involved drilling for a core of seabed sediments from the south of Iceland and analyzing it for indications of both the speed of the ocean currents and the saltiness of the water. Our records show a sequenced pattern of freshening and cooling of the North Atlantic sea surface and a change in the deep ocean circulation, all key factors in controlling Northern Hemisphere climate, Dr. Chapman said. So, this thing is already showing signs of the same kind of slowdown. And as I've mentioned before, and I talked about a couple nights ago, the most northern glaciers are not only melting faster and faster, they're accelerating in their movement. So not only are we seeing the signs of this, they're accelerating at a dramatic rate. And the glacier thing is purely because you have the landmass underneath the glacier warming up enough where you're getting a layer of melted water between the actual landmass and the glacier. So it acts like WD-40 and it's just sliding straight down the hill. So So, you know, I mean, these things are real. So if this happens, you know, basically that whole northern European area could just turn into an ice block. You follow me? Think about the impact of that. And like I said, the consensus in the scientific community, as I understand it, keeps pointing towards the fact that that kind of change over time between between, you know, like as the if you imagine going into an ice age as a big lever switch, you know, when I was a kid in school, they talked about that this was still, you know, centuries away. Well, now it's become decades. And not only that, the time that it takes to flip the switch was thought to be over like a good 100, 200 years. But no, we're finding out that the ice age can come on in something around 2 years. So, I mean, this is something that, when it occurs, will actually dramatically happen over a within a generation. Scares me. I mean, this is no longer, and you know, this is why I first got so just kind of turned straight onto these environmental issues, because right after, you know, 19 of the world's top environmental scientists gave Al Gore 5 stars for accuracy in his film An Inconvenient Truth, all you heard in the media was the bogus scientists screaming that he was using scare tactics. But just because the reality is kind of scary doesn't mean that the message isn't true, and this is one of those things we have to get over. It's one of those things we just have to, I don't know. This kind of stuff just drives me nuts. And just to continue on, this is out of The Independent, by the way, and I believe this is one of the stories that I linked on the blog post. The core contained these cores that they pulled out of the grain, out of the glaciers, contain sediments representing the current interglacial warm period that began at the top of the last ice age, about 10,000 years ago. The sediment includes small animals called foraminifera that record surface water conditions in their shells when living. Mr. Ellison said, we also analyzed the sediment grain size to gauge the speed of the ocean currents and the strength of the ocean circulation. So, you know, we are already seeing this. And the results for, you know, Europe is that it's going to get colder and possibly locked by ice. But the other side of it, you have things like the increased strength of hurricanes in the Gulf Coast. Because it's this massive set of currents and the senility of the water cycling back and forth that keep all these other currents under control. I don't know what else to tell you. Pardon me. Anyway, we're about to go out and break. Don't forget, we're chatting at headonradionetwork.com. Click on the chat link, dive in the pool, blogging at said location. Ben Birch is running his fundraiser at White Rose Society at the moment, so stop by, drop him a bone, do the right thing, because he sure does. And, you know, we got the news coming up. I've got a lot more to talk about, more just environmental insanity.
tomorrow for his first trip abroad, with stops in Saudi Arabia, the United Arab Emirates, and Kuwait. The tour is part of a plan to promote his national reconciliation to curb sectarian violence. Osama bin Laden has reportedly released an internet audio tape praising Abu Musab al-Zarqawi, the al-Qaeda in Iraq leader who was killed by U.S. forces earlier this month. He also vowed that al-Qaeda would continue to fight the U.S. and its allies everywhere. USA Today reports that the NSA phone call database is not as widespread as first reported last month. Today, the newspaper said that Verizon and Bell South deny that they provided customer phone records to the National Security Agency, as the paper had earlier claimed. In Washington, the Bush administration may not meet its goal of placing 2,500 National Guardsmen on the U.S.-Mexico border by today's scheduled deadline. Reports from military officials in the four states say that fewer than 1,000 troops are in place. However, the National Guard head insists that that goal would be met by today, and he disputes that tally. In Memphis, Tennessee today, President Bush and the First Lady took visiting Japanese Prime Minister to the Elvis Presley home in Graceland. The Japanese Prime Minister, who is leaving office in September, has been one of the President's strongest supporters in world affairs. The United States is insisting that Iran respond to the Western incentives offer to halt its nuclear program by the deadline of next week. Iranian officials insist that they need more time to reply. And in Kuwait, the parliamentary election results show that no woman won any seat. You are listening to the Quality News Network.
Divorce is never a pleasant experience, but it doesn't have to be a tragedy. If you can rein in the emotions, step back from the anger and victimhood, you can end your marriage with dignity instead of hostility. You married with the best of intentions. Now you need to untie the marital knot with the same mutual respect. Choose collaboration instead of confrontation. Stop wasting money on lawyers. Don't drag this out for 5 years. A collaborative divorce is better for the children, family, and friends. Collaboration costs a fraction of a contended divorce and can be done within weeks rather than the months or years. An award-winning documentary called Divorce Collaborative Style explains how you can end your marriage fairly and efficiently. For less than what a lawyer charges to answer one simple question, you can get all the answers from Divorce Collaborative Style. Go to collaborativedivorce.tv and order your DVD today. If it's over, end it right. collaborativedivorce.tv.
The Commerce Department reports that consumer spending slowed in May. The government report cites rising gasoline prices as the reason for the slowdown. However, the University of Michigan survey of consumer sentiment shows an increase in June. The report reveals a higher than expected gain for the month. President Bush has nominated a Columbia University professor to serve on the Federal Reserve. A Medicaid rule that goes into effect tomorrow requires that a person must prove their citizenship, for example, by showing a passport or birth certificate, before applying or re-enrolling for benefits. An estimated 50 million poor Americans will be affected by the rule, which is aimed at cutting fraud by illegal immigrants. Drug maker Bayer says it will sell its diagnostic operations to Siemens in a more than $5 billion deal. Pending approval, it is expected to close in early 2007. The FDA has granted approval for the first generic version of the top-selling antidepressant Zoloft. An Israeli pharmaceutical company plans to make the generic version of the Pfizer drug, whose patent expires tomorrow. Microsoft has announced it will cut about 5% of its sales force to boost its competitiveness. However, the company plans to hire an additional 66 sales workers, and those who have been cut can apply for the new positions. Light sweet crude is trading at $73.93, and on Wall Street at this hour, the Dow is down 12 points, the Nasdaq down 2. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Ali Dramov. It's now 5 minutes past the hour.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever.
Some new sensation.
Call the show at 877-443-2366. 877, the number 4, head on. Brought to you by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Remember, they're building the American dream. And now, back to John on the Head On Radio Network.
That was funny. But I'll have to tell you what's funny in a minute, because I didn't realize that Gene has been on hold the last 15 minutes. Gene, get on the line and tell us what you found out about Amtrak, buddy.
Hey, dude.
Hey, man, how are you?
Well, I'm okay. Okay, I called Amtrak, and this is what they said. I know.
I'm so sorry about keeping you on hold there, man. I didn't realize you were actually waiting on me. I thought you were still getting us the lowdown.
It's not a big deal. I'm right. You've got your show to do. That's cool. anyway.
What have you found out?
Well, I called Amtrak, and I spoke to, frankly, just a reservation clerk, because that's the number I go through usually. And
right.
This was news to her. She didn't know, so she checked with customer service, and what she got back was, oh, no, they hadn't made that decision yet. She didn't think they would cut service to New Orleans. If they do cut it, it'll be December 31st, because they have to give them 6 months' notice. So I don't know if that helps. We're kind of still up in the air. I mean, as far as she's concerned, they hadn't heard anything about it. They didn't think and she didn't think anything was going on. I did give her the trains.com website.
Right.
She wanted to know where I heard it from. This is something that we're probably going to have to watch. The reason that I'm a little concerned about it is I did a quick search on the web. There is some talk about it. There's a Daily Kos article from last year about it and that kind of thing.
Right.
So this might be something to watch.
So. Yeah, well, and if it's maybe something that's just about to be decided, maybe if Amtrak gets a little bit of preemptive noise, maybe something can be changed.
The other thing I was thinking is maybe they just put them out there to get people to move out of New Orleans that are still there, the old-timers, the folks.
Yeah. All I can think of is, just looking at the lines that are in the list, if this is what would happen, that's a huge kind of triangulated bunch of the southern states of America that I would think would have utilized those services.
Oh, yeah. I can't see them. I can't see how they'd cut Texas off. I mean, that's a pretty, I would imagine, that, I mean, that's their base, isn't it? Isn't that Bush's base?
Well, yeah, but you know, then again, Bush's base doesn't think that we should have public transportation.
Well, that's true. Oh, well.
Well, this is what I mean. You know, they've been working very, very kind of consistently to gut Amtrak over the last, few years.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, I remember it used to be, I remember when I was a kid, it may have had, it may have had its thing here or there, but it was utilized, and it enabled people who couldn't afford to travel by air could get across country if they wanted to and go and maybe see their family, I just think that this is another one of those things that just really, really, again, limits what people can do, and again, posing the question, what do you think the role of government is supposed to be then?
Yeah, well, if this happens, and I'm not too sure that it won't, it wouldn't surprise me, because I've been wanting to cut Amtrak for I don't know how many years now. Unfortunately, because I use that service, that's how I get around Oregon, and.
Yeah.
Yes.
I would reckon.
So it would really suck.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thankfully, none of these lines are anywhere near you, but it kind of almost in a way, it just plays into kind of just the way the South continues to go.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's been so long since I've been there, but it's just just seems that they consistently want to take away the most accessible form of long-distance travel to the people just away. And that's just too bad. And I really appreciate you checking up on that. So we will keep an eye on that because I think trains are a great thing. Trains are a great thing for the environment. Imagine if we actually ended up getting running on biodiesel trains. How cool would that be?
That would be very cool.
You know, I've read some places that, you know, when it comes to some electric rail systems and whatnot, you have to really look at how the power is being generated. That sometimes still even diesel can be less damaging. Would you believe?
I've heard that too, and I wonder because I'm 100% public transit. I don't even have a car anymore. So
hey, man, we're in the same club, and I really don't have much of a problem with it, aside from the fact that I live in a city that is very not pedestrian or bicycle friendly, and at the moment has a mass transit system that's just kind of like in a bit of a shambles. But thankfully, I live in a suburban area that has, you know, a decent set of shops that I can get to in walking distance. And then if I need to get in the city, it's only, you know, two blocks to the bus and I'm at the city. How the traffic and everything else runs might change how long it takes, but I can get there and I have no problems with it. And I'm glad that I don't have a car payment. I'm glad that I don't have the insurance to deal with, because honestly, I don't think I could in this state, in this city here, I don't know if I could maintain just the basic costs. It costs you virtually five grand to get a car on the road here.
Ouch,
in Australia.
That hurts. I thought Arizona was bad. Well, I am going to let you go.
Right on, man. Gene, thank you so much, and we will talk to you again very, very soon.
Okay.
Right on, buddy. And that was Gene from Oregon, always coming up with the goods. I'm telling you, the guy is a researcher, just like born and bred. Some interesting stuff here. We got a couple minutes before we go to the break. You can go at usnewswire.com. There's some interesting thing about the web statistics to the old right-wing media sites. And we'll get to that, you know, after the break. So if you want to get in on the conversation, dial into 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Ring Amtrak. Put some pressure on anyway. Look out for the infrastructure. We'll see you on the other side of this break here on the Head On Radio Network.
You all have had a ruckus on the airwaves this evening, Bob, and I just got to tell you where I fall down on the subject.
And fall down you do, I suppose.
So you catch on quick, I tell you. You're very quick, very quick. But I did want to just, because I kept hearing things like amnesty, and I had to tell you, Bob, if we have amnesty, we can't work them to death like we're doing. We can't pay them $3 an hour if we let them become citizens now, can we?
That whole 13th Amendment thing's still a thorn in your side, isn't it?
Oh, we won't talk about that either, Bob. Now, we're working on repealing that sucker, but it's going to take a while.
Catch Bob Kincaid weeknights, 7 to 10 p.m., right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Good. Good man underground.
Head on.
Sick mind hurts because of AIDS. Children are bullied, isolated, and shut out of school. They are missing out on education. They are missing out on medicine. Children are missing your love, care, and protection. Join me and become a stigma buster. Unite for children, unite against AIDS.
One way employers honor their most cherished workers is by allowing them the pleasure of meeting a quota. Because management is so smart and in touch, the quota is always a realistic goal that can be easily met. Selling 80 sets of encyclopedias this week? No problem. The worker loves his quota because he knows it's merely a target and not a big axe constantly looming over his head that'll determine if he's still employed or living in a cardboard box next month. When you exceed your quota, you're sure to be given a huge bonus. Your boss would not just use this as an excuse to raise your quota in a devilish game of how much work can we pile on Sheldon before he starts babbling and stains his chair again. Yes, the rewards are great and easily obtainable for meeting your quota.
Want to fight childhood asthma? Then fight it with a scrub brush and a hot soapy towel. Even in the neatest and tidiest homes, if there's so much as a crumb to eat or a drop to drink, household pests like bugs and mice will do all that they can to get it. Creepy crawlies like bugs and mice are unpleasant enough as it is, but they're more than just a nuisance for kids with asthma because they can actually trigger an asthma attack. So, give them a whole lot of nothing. Sweep up crumbs, wipe down tables, scrub dishes before they pile up in the sink, and store leftovers in plastic bags or bowls. Don't leave them so much as one tidbit or nibble, and you can stop a childhood asthma attack before it starts. Discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS or visit noattacks.org, because no child should feel like a fish out of water. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Treat me with understanding.
Treat me with respect.
Drug and alcohol addiction is an equal opportunity disease.
Treat me without judgment.
Individuals in recovery come from all walks of life and deserve to be treated with respect for winning one of the hardest battles there is.
Treat me with courtesy.
Treat me with humanity.
Alcohol and drug addiction deserves proper treatment. For drug and alcohol information and treatment referral, call 1-800-662-HELP.
Dad.
Out in the nighttime. Welcome to Fact of Foxed Up, everybody, where the children of the night come out to fight the radical right. Maybe even try and save the planet at the same time. Now, I'm going to get a little off of environmental stuff, but this could also just be a symptom of some of this. You know, I think people are starting to want a little bit more honesty and truth in what happens, especially when it comes to the environment, because I'm sorry, it's issue number one. It's issue number one. So anyway, the U.S. Newswire says web traffic to Washington Times, Drudge Report, RushLimbaugh.com is down. Is the era of right-wing popularity over? Don't know. But there's some interesting facts here as I fix my headphones. Here, what do we have here? It says, the following was issued today by U.S. Politics Today, published by the Washington, D.C.-based IPD Group. An odd thing seems to have happened to the mighty right-wing talk media juggernaut. They are still talking, but fewer people seem to be listening, at least on the Internet. Alexa.com, at Alexa.com, which is owned and operated by Amazon.com, tracks online usage of all websites, large and small. At Alexa.com, you can check a site's activity up to the minute or follow its trail back many years. At U.S. Politics Today, we thought it might be interesting to see how the right-wing media machine was doing. Not well, it turns out. During the past 3 months, for instance, RushLimbaugh.com traffic ranking has declined 18%. He He still huffs and puffs away daily on radio, but advertisers might want to double-check the size of his audience. If the bottom has dropped out on him online, it's likely it has had similar trend online with his radio show. Even Fox News, that gold standard of right-wing media, is down 13%. And there are numbers to go along with it. Ann Coulter is coining money by attacking widows and orphans, a new game for her since she's run out of Democrats living and dead to defame and verbally pillage. You would think that all of the attention the promotion of her new book has given her would raise visitor numbers at her website, AnnCoulter.com. Nope, traffic there is down 10%. Just gets better and better. The audience chart reveals reversal seems to be common across the entire right-wing side of the Internet viewing board. BillO'Reilly.com has dropped 40% in the past 3 months. Now, I'm being told that Alexa might not be the best source, but it is a commonly used source, and, I mean, if there's a 40% drop there, I would think other sources would have to be showing something along these lines, and we'll have to go and look at some of these other sources. But via Alexa, it also says that townhall.com, once popular center for right-wing news and commentary, has fallen by 24%. Washington Times site is down by 27%, and Matt Drudge, once the hottest right-wing name in Internet sites, Alexa.com, says DrudgeReport.com is down 21%. Could it be that Internet users are getting tired of political sites in general? Maybe, but MoveOn.org is up 13% in the same period. I like that one. I think that's a good one. President Bush's fall from grace has been well documented by poll after poll. The unpopularity of Congress may not be at historic lows, but those 20-something level of support numbers can't be comforting to those who manage things on Capitol Hill. And so it seems, looking at the Alexa.com numbers, if they are to be believed, so here, even they say here, those graph lines may not directly parallel the decline in GOP poll numbers, but they are all heading in the same direction. Down. They also say about U.S. politics today, indexing thousands of articles from over 25,000 online news sources and news sections, U.S. politics today provides the most comprehensive and up-to-date. That's actually moving on to something else. But I find that all very, very interesting, that if, you know, are more and more Americans just tired of hearing this? I mean, we know most of it's just garbage, you know, that it's most of it's kind of spin. I mean, the O'Reilly numbers to me are no surprise. I mean, that guy is just so just piss weak. I'm sorry. I can't think of anything else to say except for, I mean, the guy has nothing to stand on. He's so full of hot air. I mean, if there's any of them that's going to fall hard and fast, it's got to be that guy. He's just a, you know, Limbaugh's the worst, but I think O'Reilly's the most phony. And, Bob, America seems to want to know, yeah, about Britney Spears and who's knocking her up. But hopefully maybe some of that they'll even get bored enough and start to actually start paying attention to what's happening to the real world around them. I just that whole idea of O'Reilly being down 40%. Lovely, 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 doubly. And Rush down 18%. You know, even if he's 10, that means a lot. I won't even entertain that one on air, Bob. Oh, boy. Let's see. What else do we have going on here? We're about to head out for the bottom. Bob. Anyway, Strawby here. We're going to be heading out to a break here in just a second, but do go by treehugger.com. They have some really, really good stuff there for, ideas of getting off the grid, ways to leave less of an impact, ways to leave less of an impact and support your local community. That's what the beauty of most of the answers when it comes to your green stuff. When it comes to environmental things. A lot of it really isn't that hard. And once you make the change, more than likely you're actually doing more to support your local community than sending it off to some nameless, faceless corporate. You know? And I like supporting small business. You know? I think it's a good thing. Get to know your local grocers and whatnot. Talk to them. Tell them what you want. Ask them where they get their stuff from. I bet they'll like the input. Anyway, we're going to pop out for a break. I'm going to get another cup of tea. We're going to load up some more material. And then at the top of the next hour, Mr. Lori Irvine come up and talk to us about immigration in Australia and Johnny the little rat bag Howard. Woman, see you on the other side of this break. This is the Head On Radio Network.
Crocodile tears. I'll never take you back in a million years. Don't let the sun get you crying. Crying in my front door. You done daddy dirty. He sure don't want you no more.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical, you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Claude, Wally, and Dookie are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. Just stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. Your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
While it's not on the front page, the genocide in Darfur, Western Sudan, continues. 400,000 people are dead, 2 million have been violently displaced, and 2,000 villages have been destroyed. Rapes and other physical attacks still occur regularly, and large-scale food shortages may be just around the corner. But there is something you can do to make sure the U.S. government takes action to end this nightmare. Retired Canadian General Roméo Dallaire, who tried in vain to warn the world of the start of the 1994 genocide in Rwanda, has estimated that 44,000 peacekeepers with a mandate to protect innocent civilians could stop the cycle of violence in Darfur. Over 1,000 people have made the pledge to call or email the White House every weekday until President Bush ensures the deployment of those 44,000 peacekeeping troops in Darfur. Give a voice to your conscience today. Visit DarfurPledge.org. That's DarfurPledge.org. A message from the Ethic.
Dad, let's sing that bedtime song.
Rock-a-bye, baby, by Newton's treetop. His first law of motion, make sure you won't stop. The same rules of physics apply to a ball. While gravity is a force that makes things fall.
By the sixth grade, many girls lose interest in math and science, but it's never too early to set your daughter's future in motion. For some simple ideas, go to girlsgotech.org.
A public service announcement brought to you by Girl Scouts of USA and Ad Council.
back to Fox Shop. Joe Jackson, Bob, you're just absolutely kicking. It's just so, I love it. Joe Jackson actually just toured here not long ago, and a mate of mine went and said it was absolutely rip-roaring fantastic. Speaking of Joe's, tomorrow night, Saturday night here on the Horn, is where you get your weekly Cup of Joe, and you get your Fourth Estate Radio, and Bruce will be back on with me tomorrow. Joe is in a rerun tomorrow night. Because he's in the midst of his big move from the pits of the battled south to up to where it's windy. And anyway, tune in for that. And we have a brand new lecture this week, which will air after Fourth Estate Radio and then be available for download. And, you know, we'll set it into rebroadcasts throughout the coming weeks with Mr. Stephen Sewell, playwright from Sydney, who talks about theater's role and drama's role in a time in history like we are in now. So you got to tune in to that. It was something very, very different than we usually do with these lectures. But then again, it was great. And I got a really great interview, which we'll also have on Fourth Estate Radio, 10 p.m. Eastern Time. And while I'm thinking about things like lectures... yes, you will, Bruce. Bruce is hanging out there in the old production chat. He's going, oh, am I back? Ha, 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 ha. Yeah, no kicking back and watching the kids play this weekend. You got to work. but anyway, the next month lecture, which I'm really looking forward to this, we're going to have the head of the Australian Construction and Trades Union. And this should be great because this guy has been at the forefront of the whole industrial relations reforms nonsense that has been stripping the average Australian of their rights as a worker, of their rights to be treated like a human being, and having their livelihoods and their lives just completely destroyed at the stroke of a pen. But that'll be all good. Where shall we go? I did the rating stuff. I've done that. Ah, here we go. Really good website. One of the things that unfortunately seems to be almost unavoidable in the modern day and age is exposure to pesticides. And there's a very, very good website where you can get information on all things dealing with pesticides, which is PANA.org, PANNA.org. It's the Pesticide Action Network of North America. Now, they've got a few things here, and just searching through to find all kinds of, first glance on some of this stuff, it can be mighty, 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 mighty scary. Let's see. This is the kind of stuff that is just so Orwellian, it freaks me out. From the Pesticide Action Network, Dr. Margaret Reeves. Groups sue EPA for approving unethical and illegal human pesticide testing. I'm going to try and keep the blood pressure down as I read this. A new environmental protection... This is from February, but, you know, this affects us now. A new Environmental Protection Agency rule will turn more Americans into lab rats for industry pesticide tests. According to lawsuits filed today by a coalition of health and environmental advocates, farm workers, and doctors, the groups contend that the agency's human testing rule violates a law passed by Congress in 2005 mandating strict ethical and scientific protections for pesticide testing on humans. EPA's rule allows pesticide companies to use intentional tests on humans to justify weaker restrictions on pesticides, said Dr. Margaret Reeves, a senior staff scientist with the Pesticide Action Network. Although the rule prohibits some kinds of testing and limits on others, it's riddled with loopholes that undermine its effectiveness and ultimately encourage more human testing, the coalition group said. The rule also fails to ensure that pesticide testing on human subjects meets with the strictest scientific and ethical standards recommended by a 2004 National Academy of Sciences report and outlined in the Nuremberg Code after World War II. So we're going backwards again. You know, we're stepping back to and doing things that we were doing before World War II. You know, as though we don't think that any of these things can cause us harm. And I mean, we know. And this is the other thing. It's been proven you don't need to use these pesticides. And the use of the pesticides just ends up increasing the pest problem. So you need more pesticides. So this is an entire industry, for the most part, which is just a circular money sucker. If we used better organic pesticides, and I mean they're out there, and there are very, very, very successful organic pesticide-free gardens all over Australia here. There's quite a little network of them. And Australia has a very, very intensive organic certification process, and that means pesticide-free. The chemical industry continues on. The chemical industry concedes that its goal is to weaken safety standards by circumventing the margin of safety the EPA uses to estimate a safe human exposure level based on animal studies. As a result of the agency's illegal rule, the EPA will rely on unethical and unscientific human pesticide tests to weaken regulatory standards. There have been serious ethical and scientific problems with such tests in the past. For example, a company told participants in one test they were eating vitamins, not toxic pesticides. In many other tests, companies have not provided a long-term follow-up to protect participants' health. And as my genius producer, Bob Kincaid, tosses at me, he says, the origin of the pesticide industry lies in the collapse of the chemical weapons industry in the U.S. after World War I. Thank you for that, Bob. It continues. I'm just going to read the last couple paragraphs because I just think this is just so important. The EPA's rule puts pesticide companies' profits ahead of human health and scientific integrity, said Dr. Robert Gould, a pathologist and president of San Francisco Bay Area Physicians for Social Responsibility. Pesticide companies should not be allowed to take advantage of vulnerable populations by enticing people to serve as human laboratory rats. Does anyone remember the whole thing about testing pesticides on children for a camcorder last year? A congressionally approved study? Poison your kids. Have a handy cam. Eric Olson, a senior attorney with the Natural Resources Defense Council, agreed. The industry's human pesticide tests are unscientific and unethical. Their records of abuse is appalling, yet the EPA disregards Congress's order to crack down on this abhorrent practice. Unethical testing of pesticides on humans is wrong and has to be stopped, said Jill Hassaman, an attorney with Earth Justice representing the groups in the lawsuit. EPA's rule ignores Congress and allows unethical human tests to be used to weaken pesticide regulations. The lawsuits were filed simultaneously in the Second Court of Appeals in New York City and the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals in San Francisco. The groups filing lawsuits today include Pesticide Action Network North America, United Farm Workers of America. See, the farmers don't want this stuff. Pinera's Kempensisos, oh, I can't even get through that one. Oh, there's the translation. Northwest Tree Planters and Farm Workers United, San Francisco Bay Area Physicians for Social Responsibility, and Natural Resources Defense Council. They are represented by attorneys with Earth Justice and the NRDC. And you will have heard public service announcements with Michael Ferranti on Earth Justice on this very, very network. And see, right there proves that this all can work. You know, Earth Justice is a legal defense fund that is supported by musicians and artists and anyone that wants to, just to take on these cases, because we don't have the oversight within government anymore to make sure that these things are you know, government is not doing what I believe it's supposed to be doing. And I've been asked to repeat this website. It's www.panna.org. And this is from the newsroom, and there's probably a link that you'll be able to find about human testing. I think I have a couple of links or one of these links on the blog show post as well. yeah. Again, PANNA.org, PANA.org. That's the Pesticide Action Network of North America. And it's a great site, and thank you, Gail, for finding that one. There's actually some more from these folks, and I'll just have to get this little window to go away. And there's a whole page, actually, in their resources section that is all on human testing, and it's got a whole bunch of different links. At least you end up with, you know, they're... again, you read these things and you see who the real Democrats are. Senator Barbara Boxer is one of the only ones that's spoken out about this. But surprisingly, Henry Waxman and Hilda Solis have gone after the Bush administration on this issue. So I think that's very, very good, because, I mean, this is another one of those things. This cannot be a partisan issue, you know. I mean, come on. Poisoning the children for what? Well, obviously to make more money. Here, I'm just getting this thing with pardon me, and this goes back, and so a month before that case was launched, it was also published, and, you know, I mean, yeah, this might be going back a little bit, but see, this, all this stuff still applies, right? It ain't over yet, and they want us to forget about this stuff. We need to make sure that this isn't happening. So it says back here at the January 23rd, today, Senator Barbara Boxer, Henry Waxman, and Hilda Solis criticized the Bush administration plan to promote pesticide experimentation upon humans. The plan contained in the final draft rule was leaked to the legislators by a concerned administration official who requested that the original copy of the plan not be duplicated in its entirety and widely distributed out of concern for anonymity. According to the EPA's communications plan, the administration will officially announce the pesticide experiment plan later this week as a final regulation. So, but only three. Kind of sad, too. There were not many, you know, two Republicans and one Democrat. That worries me. That very, very much worries me. But go by PANA.org. Check out what they have to say. Contact your representatives. Tell them you're not happy. Not happy at all. And we're going out to the break, the music tells me. You're listening to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network for Friday night. We'll be back right after this.
She wore red dresses with her black shining hair. Oh, she had my baby and caused me to care. Then coldly she left me to suffer and cry. Oh, she wore red dresses and told such sweet
still looking for weapons of mass destruction? Concerned about the Supreme Court? I'm Mark Levine. I've got the inside scoop. When you want to know what goes on inside the Beltway, it helps to have a Beltway insider. And I know what's going on in Washington because I used to work there as a congressional attorney. And my sources still give me the inside scoop. So check out the Inside Scoop, weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 Central, 11 o'clock Pacific, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
The Native American Journalists Association is calling out to tomorrow's reporters, photographers, editors, and publishers to represent Native perspectives.
Today's agreement allows the Nebraska State Patrol and Winnebago Tribal Police to share enforcement.
The tribe is taking its concerns to the Bureau of Reclamation, which manages and
Native American inmates have filed suit against the prison.
Go to NAJA.com to learn more about membership and benefits. NAJA, raising the next generation of storytellers.
Hi, I'm Joanne Woodward. Ever notice how many things in life happen in a circle? The seasons, revolving credit, hula hoops, the spinning of the circle we call Earth, and recycling. Together, we've already made a difference. Sorting glass, plastic, separating cans, stacking newspapers. Now there are lots of products made from things we've already recycled. A paperclip, in a more daring life, a 56 convertible, a cereal box, once your Sunday paper. It all goes back to the circle. It starts when we recycle trash at home and at work. It's completed when we buy products made from recycled materials. How do you know the difference? Check the label for something called post-consumer recycled content. Then buy the highest percentage of it you can find. You'll save a tree, you'll save energy, and in your own way, you'll help save the world. Complete the circle.
For your free Buy Recycled shopping guide, call 1-800-2-RECYCLE. A message from the Ad Council and Environmental Defense. Finding the ways that work.
Has anyone ever said, you are the picture of health? You look healthy, you feel fine, but that may not be the full picture. Colorectal cancer is the second leading cancer killer of men and women over 50. Since it doesn't always cause symptoms, you may not know you have it. The only way to know is by getting screened. Screening can find precancerous polyps so they can be removed before they turn into cancer. This is one cancer you can prevent. Plus, screening can find colorectal cancer at an early stage when the chance for a full recovery is very high. Talk with your doctor and get tested for colorectal cancer. Medicare and many insurance plans help pay for screening. Get screened. Make sure you are the picture of health.
Along. That's Waiting for Columbus, if I'm not mistaken. And, like, I swear, they're just like my They are like one of my favorite all-time bands, and thankfully got to see them a couple times, but, you know, not till after Lowell was gone, but still, what an experience. And yep, Waiting for Columbus. Yeah, and I can sing along with Lowell, too. Gotta love him. And and if I'm not mistaken there, Bob, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, Waiting for Columbus very closely didn't actually happen because they had a recording truck going along, recording a few gigs, and you know, going to get back at the end of the run, have half a dozen shows to go and pick the best cuts out of and put out a live record. And I do believe on the way to the final gig, the small convoy that was Little Feet had the recording truck go off a road and into a ravine. Yep, big truck wreck. And all of the takes had burned. So when you listen to Waiting for Columbus at the very, very top, you hear the band doing their little vocal warm-up, and the MC apologizes for, you know, technical stuff, blah, 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 blah. And what you're hearing is the line check, because they got another recording truck, patched it last as fast as they could at the gig. Right, I think they even, the insurance company even did the claim fast enough so that they could get the money for another mobile truck out there. And so that album is done in over one night, and you can hear it through the first track. The mix is quite loose. And then over that track, it all just kind of becomes just this thing of beauty. And I can speak from experience that sometimes those gigs that almost don't happen... That's right, I'll get there. I will get there. But when you think that, just when you think you might not be able to pull it off, and you get on, I think you let go, and just magic happens. And the other little fun bit of trivia is that the first CD release did not have the track Don't Bogart That Joint because of... Tipper Gore and the PMRC, and that's, to me, the only negative on the Gore family, and I think even something she started, she didn't necessarily like how it turned out. But that's just my opinion, and maybe Al kind of went, hey, what are you doing? And if you don't remember that, back in the 80s, the old Parents Music Resource Center... I'll let that roll, Bob. You've been holding on to it, and I sure would like a hit. Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me. Don't bogart that joint. That's a classic. Thank you, Bob. That is just awesome. You gotta love Little Feet. And I remember a friend of mine made the comment when he said once, the drummer from Little Feet, he's you find your hips always swinging on that 2 and 4, but he's not always playing it. But yet, sometimes the power of silence is beautiful. Night, Ben Birch. Love your work. Anyway, we're about to head out here in a couple of minutes to the news, rah, rah, rah. And when we come back, we will have Mr. Laurie Irvine from Queensland, Australia, on the line. He's very involved with Amnesty International and whatnot, and so he's going to come in and talk to us about the strife that Howard's having over his very draconian immigration stance here, and there's been quite a bit of a revolt going on in amongst his governments over this issue because they want to process all refugees offshore. And they have this thing that if you're processed and given refugee status, they want you to reside somewhere else. They want another country to take you. You know, I mean, think about that. And I'll see if I can find a couple of links to this stuff. Because think about that. You know, we start a war somewhere and a bunch of people who just finally get their way to a boat trying to escape the death and destruction. You send them off to some third world island, and then if they get refugee status, say someone else has to take them. I just think that's nuts. Absolutely nuts. So, anyway, Lori's going to tell us all about it, because he's been following it very, very closely. Anyway, you're listening to Foxed Up here for a Friday night. It's almost probably Saturday morning where you are. Here on the Head On Radio Network, you can get on the line 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. I reckon Lori won't mind taking a phone call. So we'll see you after a bit of messages and the news, and we'll be back.
News Network. In the Gaza Strip, Israeli airstrikes continue today. More than 30 targets have been hit. The Palestinian Prime Minister claims that Israel's offensive is part of a premeditated plan to take down the Hamas-led government. Israel has also reportedly kidnapped and arrested 8 cabinet members and 50 other Hamas officials. Israel says it is increasing the pressure to free an Israeli soldier who was kidnapped earlier this week in a cross-border raid. In Baghdad, the U.S. Army is investigating the deaths of 4 Iraqi civilians in a town south of Baghdad in March. One of the 5 accused soldiers has reportedly been arrested after admitting his role in the incident. The other 4 soldiers have been confined to a base and their weapons have been taken away. Also in Iraq, the Prime Minister will leave tomorrow for his first trip abroad with stops in Saudi Arabia, the United Arab Emirates, and Kuwait. The tour is part of a plan to promote his national reconciliation to curb sectarian violence. Osama bin Laden has reportedly released an internet audio tape praising Abu Musab al-Zarqawi, the al-Qaeda in Iraq leader who was killed by U.S. forces earlier this month. He also vowed that al-Qaeda would continue to fight the U.S. and its allies everywhere. USA Today reports that the NSA phone call database is not as widespread as first reported last month. Today, the newspaper said that Verizon and Bell South deny that they provided customer phone records to the National Security Agency, as the paper had earlier claimed. In Washington, the Bush administration may not meet its goal of placing 2,500 National Guardsmen on the U.S.-Mexico border by today's scheduled deadline. Reports from military officials in the 4 states say that fewer than 1,000 troops are in place. However, the National Guard head insists that goal would be met by today, and he disputes that tally. In Memphis, Tennessee today, President Bush and the First Lady took visiting Japanese Prime Minister to the Elvis Presley home in Graceland. The Japanese Prime Minister, who is leaving office in September, has been one of the President's strongest supporters in world affairs. The United States is insisting that Iran respond to the Western incentives offer to halt its nuclear program by the deadline of next week. Iranian officials insist that they need more time to reply. And in Kuwait, the parliamentary election results show that no woman won any seat. You are listening to the Quality News Network.
Divorce is never a pleasant experience, but it doesn't have to be a tragedy. If you can rein in the emotions, step back from the anger and victimhood, you can end your marriage with dignity instead of hostility. You married with the best of intentions. Now you need to untie the marital knot with the same mutual respect. Choose collaboration instead of confrontation. Stop wasting money on lawyers. Don't drag this out for 5 years. A collaborative divorce is better for the children, family, and friends. Collaboration costs a fraction of a contended divorce and can be done within weeks rather than the months or years. An award-winning documentary called Divorce Collaborative Style explains how you can end your marriage fairly and efficiently. For less than what a lawyer charges to answer one simple question, you can get all the answers from Divorce Collaborative Style. Go to collaborativedivorce.tv and order your DVD today. If it's over, end it right. collaborativedivorce.tv.
The Commerce Department reports that consumer spending slowed in May. The government report cites rising gasoline prices as the reason for the slowdown. However, the University of Michigan survey of consumer sentiment shows an increase in June. The report reveals a higher than expected gain for the month. President Bush has nominated a Columbia University professor to serve on the Federal Reserve. A Medicaid rule that goes into effect tomorrow requires that a person must prove their citizenship, for example, by showing a passport or birth certificate before applying or re-enrolling for benefits. An estimated 50 million poor Americans will be affected by the rule, which is aimed at cutting fraud by illegal immigrants. Drug maker Bayer says it will sell its diagnostic operations to Siemens in a more than $5 billion deal. Pending approval, it is expected to close in early 2007. The FDA has granted approval for the first generic version of the top-selling antidepressant Zoloft. An Israeli pharmaceutical company plans to make the generic version of the Pfizer drug, whose patent expires tomorrow. Microsoft has announced it will cut about 5% of its sales force to boost its competitiveness. However, the company plans to hire an additional 66 sales workers, and those who have been cut can apply for the new positions. Light sweet crude is trading at $73.93, and on Wall Street at this hour, the Dow is down 12 points, the Nasdaq down 2. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Allie Dramov. It's now 5 minutes past the hour.
Does this mean the popularity of the group is waning?
Oh, no, not at all. I just think that that their appeal is becoming more selective.
It's your third hour of All Foxed Up with John Fox. You can reach the show at 877-443-2366. Let's get back to John on the Head On Radio Network.
Great Australian band, Screamin' Jets, because our guest, as we go into hour three, is from Australia. And on the line, we have good friend of the horn, Mr. Laurie Irvine, ringing us from Queensland. How you going, Laurie? Laurie, you there? I'm not sure if we have him. have to see what happens there. Anyway, we're gonna work out the glitch there with the old connection and get Lori on as soon as we can. But just to give you a little bit of the background again, the liberals here, which are the conservatives, have had this really, really kind of keep them all out, keep all the darkies out of Australia kind of thing with the immigration policy, you see. And it's just one of those things, you know, and Johnny Howard will decide who comes to Australia in the manner in which they come, which is his classic line on this issue. But they've been wanting to push this forward even more. And they want to push, they've been doing this thing off of this island known as Nauru, if my memory serves me right. A group of people get to Australian waters and the local boys take them to an island where they're not even on Australian waters, they're not even on Australian waters on Australian land. And they're going to be processed there. And if you then prove your refugee status, the Australian policy that they want to put in place is that you don't come to Australia. You go through everything here, spend all the money, go through all the nightmare of getting through the most difficult immigration process in the world. And then say, well, okay, we've said you're a refugee. Who wants to take the refugee? And I'm told we have Lori again on the line. I guess he got bumped off. Lori, welcome aboard Foxed Up, matey.
G'day, John. How are you going, mate?
Good, man. Good, man. I was just kind of giving the listeners a little bit of the background on the whole offshore processing thing and whatnot, kind of where Howard's been and that whole, you know, I'll decide who comes to Australia and the manner in which they come, you know, kind of line. So, You've been following this really, really closely. What? Just start telling the listeners the story.
Well, I've been involved with Amnesty International and, like, under international law with refugees. Asylum seekers have a right to seek asylum in another country. It's a right they have under international law. And Australia had been, like, part of a treaty with other nations to, but it seems probably... It might go back to the Labor government years, like this is back 10 years ago, where these rights have been slowly reversed, and pretty much since around John Howard that it's starting to get out of hand. Like we've children. Like we've got people, families being separated by this refugee policy. What happens when person comes to Australia, if they are granted a temporary protection visa, there's certain rules they've got to follow, like they can't leave Australia to like go back and see how their children are going or how their wife's going, like if they've got relatives in a dangerous part of the world, they can't sponsor their family back there, they can't send money to help them, and if they do that, they risk losing their visa and pretty much being expelled from Australia or being detained indefinitely. And like Amnesty International, like we say that detention should only be for purposes of security and medical and ID checks, and a person should be released after 90 days unless a federal magistrate says otherwise, but
we have right now here in Australia people that have been detained for much longer than 90 days and they could have been cleared security wise long ago.
Yeah, well, under these current refugee laws, they can hold people indefinitely as they want to, and there's no right to dispute, especially if you're, if they sent you off shore somewhere, you can't go to a tribunal to appeal the decision. You can't appeal it to a court. You can't go to the ombudsman. You're pretty much stuffed.
Well, and I think you're also completely cut off from getting any, you know, real representation either, wouldn't you? I mean, it's basically volunteer services that are representing all these people in detention at the moment.
Yeah, but offshore, you pretty much get squat. You don't even get, like, visitors just about when you're in those
now,
sort of countries.
Yeah, now just to throw a little bit of a curveball in, we've just had an interesting thing over the past couple of weeks with Howard, some Papua New Guinean refugees, and Indonesia, and it was amazing kind of the weird flip-flop that politics seemed to create. And they first, the Papuans were granted refugee status in Australia straight away, or were they turning them away first? Then they accepted them, and Indonesia got angry. And
well, that's what.
Where do they stand at the moment? What was that,
guys? These guys, like during the last week, the Howard government's actually been trying to pass laws to, like, more or less, pretty much, if they do come here, well, they'll either send them back or they send them to, like, another country, like some island somewhere. It could be pretty much to a third country. And
right.
And, like, there's been people ringing their local members of parliament trying to put pressure on them, and fortunately, they haven't been able to pass that law yet. There's been some senators, actual Liberal Party senators, which is the Australian Conservative Party, actually rebelling against Howard. There's Peter Giorgio and Judith Troff. They've been pretty good. And I think they need support from people for pretty much turning against their own party.
Well, yeah, and we've had a few moments of that lately here in Australia, where since Howard's gotten, you know, control of both houses and all that kind of mess, and has basically kind of, you know, been able to rule the roost on a few issues recently, he's had quite a few little bit of revolts happening, and, you know, and this is the opposite end, where when one party gets all power, that can happen, and I'm thankful to see it here. But so at the moment you have a few liberals and whatnot who are basically able to tilt the vote that they won't get this through. Do you think that they'll be able to garner enough support to shut this legislation down? Because it's actually, what they're doing now is under a time limit at the moment, is it not?
Yes, like under constitutional law, like you can only try so many times within so many months. However, John Howard's been, his history with people that have crossed the floor and gone against him is he usually does negotiations with them behind closed doors, and eventually they come around to his way of thinking, unfortunately. So you might see probably about 3 or 4 months later down the track he may try a similar stunt again. So it's something, it's like with Telstra, the selling off of Telstra. There was Barnaby Joyce who kept crossing the floor, and he'd been pretty good, but eventually...
That's right, and just to let the U.S. listeners know, Telstra is our national monopoly telephone company, and the current government has been just wanting to privatize it for years, and they've sold off 49.5% of it or something like that. And they've been wanting to sell off the rest of it. And part of the problem with this is that the telephone infrastructure in Australia has had no new copper laid down since the early 80s, because they've been trying to just pull a whole bunch of cash out of it. And like you said, Barnaby really, really went across the floor hard. But, yeah, there was a couple of closed-door meetings, and then suddenly he just kind of, like, came out missing his spine somehow.
Yes. And it's very surprising because... Barnaby Joyce He was a very conservative politician, and but he stuck to his beliefs, and it's unfortunate, like, for backbenchers who try to represent the people and their electorate. And
well, when that's what I was going to ask. Is Barnaby a bit more of a rural representative? I don't know where he sits.
Yeah. He's from the National Party of Australia, which is part of the Liberal National Coalition, which John Howard's the leader of at the moment.
Mm.
And the National Party's traditionally meant to be for the country people.
Right.
Recently, in Australian politics, there's been talk of merging the National and Liberal Party, especially up here in Queensland. But there's been a bit of rebellion from the Nationals who feel that country people won't be represented.
Absolutely. And I also think that I'm really glad that it didn't go forward the way that it was looking in Queensland, because, I mean, the whole idea and what I like about the coalition possibility in government is that whoever you made deals with to get power in the election means
yes.
that you made certain concessions, and if you don't live up to those concessions, you can threaten to dissolve the power.
Yes.
And the joining of the two would have just completely destroyed that.
Well, I was a little bit disappointed, John, because I was hoping that they did unite, because there were certain members of the National Party that pretty much would have quit the party, and it may well have weakened the coalition up here in Queensland, and it may well have spread to a national level. But up here in Queensland, we've got the Labor Party, has for a number of years had the majority in state parliament, and that hasn't looked like they're going to be voted out for a while. So it's just part of Queensland politics. Our party
right.
can just stay in. Sort of like Texas up here, a certain in, and like they become corrupt after years. We've had a premier up here about 20 years ago by the name of Sergio Bjelke-Petersen, who was very conservative, and he pretty much tried to ban freedom of speech. He tried to ban people coming from over the New South Wales borders. He wanted them to have a visa while they were in Queensland. So imagine that in the States.
Jesus. Now, okay. Now, hold on. I want to come back a little bit.
Yeah.
Because you are a final year law student. Is that not correct?
Second last year. I've got 18 months.
Okay. Okay. Well, but you discuss a lot of these things legally with your professors, and I want to know how you feel about the way that they're treating the rule of domestic law and international law as regards to the refugees, and especially now you're getting into the freedom of speech stuff, and we've talked about this.
Yes.
Parallel to the Patriot Act in the United States, we have our draconian measures that came down here, which is the anti-terror legislation, and this is I'd actually like to get where you come from on that.
Of the anti-terror laws here in Australia, like for a start, like I believe that real terrorists, you know, should be brought to justice. However, there's been laws passed in Australia which sort of can pretty much infringe on Australian citizens' rights. Like they can pretty much there's a situation where if they suspect that you could be a terrorist, and there's no objective criteria to decide whether you're a terror suspect or not. It's really the Attorney General's opinion or some ACO opinion with no court intervention. They can detain you for 14 days without contact with your family. You can't tell them, you know, you're in preventative detention. If you do tell them, you could face 5 years imprisonment. So imagine being locked up in a watch house.
Right. So, okay. You cannot mention that you've been detained.
Yeah.
If you've been detained.
Your lawyer can't your lawyer can't mention you've been detained either. You're under preventative detention. If you contact a family member and they find out you've been under preventative detention, they can't tell anyone. You can't tell the media. You can't tell other family members. Just imagine who you can't tell. And there's also other laws that have been passed since 911 in Australia where ACO pretty much, you do not have the right to silence when they question you, which is a fundamental like common law right that's been around since, well, many hundreds of years in English-speaking countries that you've got the right to silence and you can't self, like, you've got the right against self-incrimination, which is pretty scary. But
That is.
Like, but the thing is, John, that we've pretty much been sold out by our state governments in Australia because under the Australian Constitution, under the Defence Powers, I don't think, in my opinion, this isn't, you know, a lawyer's opinion. This is, like, from my own research, and I've heard similar things from one of my law lecturers that they wouldn't have that power under the Defence Power, but since all the states in Australia have agreed to these laws being passed, there's not much really we can do at the moment.
Well, if I can just jump in, I now remember, you know, you saying this thing about the states. I do remember right on kind of like the 11th hour before the legislation went through, it was all the state premiers that were putting up the last fight. And
yes,
again, there were closed-door sessions
yes,
that suddenly they came out and guys that, you know, I mean, he's much maligned in the New South Wales media, but I happen to, for the most part, think Peter Beattie up there in Queensland isn't all that bad of a guy. I could be completely wrong because I don't live there.
Oh.
But I found it a cleaner place than New South Wales, that I can tell you.
Yeah, well, I think he's a top bloke myself. But, you know, as I said before, parties that have been around in power too long, they tend to get complacent and corrupt. And
well, that's happened in New South Wales for sure.
Yes, and there's big things of police corruption in New South Wales, which has never been cleaned up. Whereas in Queensland, we've had some really big shakedowns in the last 20 years. Especially.
Go ahead, mate.
If you look at party politics, people crossing the floor, the Labor Party, which is the more progressive party in Australia, they're not a party you'd want to cross the floor on if you're a member of that party. We've had a member of parliament up here that crossed the floor over an environmental issue because she wanted to represent her electorate, and unfortunately, her name's been dragged through the mud. For the media, similar.
Well, we also saw that on the federal level with Latham, and I think that there's a whole lot of internal problems in the Labor Party that need to be sorted, and they need to remember who the hell their base is. I am so angry with what they allowed to have happen, and you also told me that Beasley, the big fat I'm eloquent but do nothing head of the opposition here. May possibly do absolutely nothing about the IR laws when he's saying that he's going to tear them up as soon as he gets in.
Yes, well, there's also that issue where our progressive party is acting like a conservative party and they're representing corporate interests. And my opinion is that they're going to act like a conservative, neoconservative party. They should be treated like a neoconservative party. And at least here in Australia, we have a preferential voting system where it's not like in America where it's first past the post and whoever you vote for, if they don't look like winning, that's it, you're throwing your vote away. Where in Australia, like say, you put, you know, you vote for a minority party and they don't stand a chance, you've got a choice between the major progressive party and the major conservative party, choosing between them who's going to Papel, which
right.
is something that I think Americans should have.
I absolutely do, and I've had real arguments with a particular Green that I know who doesn't want to hear anything about preferential voting in America, and I say, you're insane, man. You're absolutely insane. It's like cutting yourself off at the knees, you know?
Yeah.
How do you expect, you know, if you want people to be able to take that leap, you need
yes.
to let them know that they're not throwing their vote away. And I think
yes.
Some polling has come out to show that with what Labor has been doing recently, the people to win have been the Greens.
Yes.
In registration.
Yes. Well, up so here, where in my electorate, we've got a dilemma at the moment where we've got a Labor candidate that seems more conservative than the Conservative Liberal Party candidate. He owns about several McDonald's in the city. He owns a major basketball team, and he's running for the Labor Party, which is meant to represent unions, but there's not one employee of his is a member of a union. They're not allowed to join unions. They have to sign a piece of paper when they start employment stating that they will not join a union. And this is a guy that's meant to represent workers' rights. And
yep. You got to look at the actions of the person, not the tag that they put after their name in these instances. I mean,
yeah.
this guy is no more Labor than Tony Blair is Labor in the UK.
Yes. And
all right, man. I got to wrap it up because we're getting on to the bottom of the hour, but I thank you for your time, and we will get you on again soon and talk a little bit more about what's happening with the law here, because I actually really want to get into you with the anti-terror legislation and the fact that Australia probably spies on more of its people than per
yes.
capita than even the United States does. But thanks a lot, Laurie.
All right. Thank you, John.
Right on, man. That was Laurie Irvin from Queensland, Australia, our law student mate. And, man, you got to work hard to get an Australian excited, don't you? Anyway, guys, we're going out to a break. We're going to come back and do the last half hour of the program. You can get in on the program at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. And, you know, we're going to come back and wrap this thing up. Want to talk about just more stupidity in Congress. They lack guts, says Common Dreams. Like, that's new. We'll see you right after this here on the Head On Radio Network.
Last Fourth Estate, we heard from Robert Fisk.
What has now become a habit of compromising on the semantics of reporting in order to avoid criticism. You know, if you call a Jewish settlement or neighborhood a colony, you'll be criticized and called potentially anti-Semitic.
And a little bit of activist history and the Red Scare.
On the line with us right now, we have Kate Fossil, biographer of Ann Braden.
You know, I got interested in Ann's life because of her being a
white Southern voice against racism. And
leave it to our listeners to ring up and keep it light.
I don't either. And, you know, Bruce is concerned about the remote control for his DVD player. I mean, I'm thinking about getting rid of the remote control on my blow-up doll. I mean, you know.
What's his name?
I never kiss a tell.
WorthEstateRadio.com.
Are rising fuel prices keeping you at home? Then here's some good news from the IRS. First, your purchase of a new hybrid or electric vehicle entitles you to a tax deduction that could amount to several thousand dollars. And you don't have to itemize to get this tax break. Second, if you're claiming the standard mileage rate for business travel in 2005, remember to figure in the 8 cents per mile increase for the last 4 months of the year. For more news on tax deductions, visit IRS.gov.
There's a place where a total stranger will give their blood to save your life. There's a place where someone you never knew will save your child from drowning. A place where people will give you food and shelter after a flood. There's a place where, when you need it most, someone will reach out their hand, put it across your shoulder and say, "Everything's going to be okay." That place is called America, where we look out for each other. And it's up to us to keep it that way. When you help the American Red Cross, you help America.
Very nice version. Welcome back to Foxed Up, everybody. Very nice fade, too, there. Nice work, Bob. And as usual, this show has been geniusly produced and musically programmed by the one, the only Bob Kincaid, who comes to you weeknights 7 to 10 here on the Horn. Just going to head over to another bit of congressional lunacy. And you got about a half an hour to get in on the show at 1-877-4 head on. But here we go. From Common Dreams Newswire again, great source for environmental stories. June 29th out of Washington, ignoring Americans' demand for smart, innovative, clean energy solutions, the U.S. House voted 232 to 187 today to lift the 25-year moratorium on offshore drilling, just as millions of Americans are headed to America's beaches for the holiday weekend. The bill, H.R. 4761, sponsored by Representative Richard Pombo, Republican, California, shreds the long-standing moratorium, makes states jump through bureaucratic hoops to regain protections they currently enjoy, would allow drilling as close as 3 miles to shore if states choose, and cost the federal government billions of dollars. Solutions are as simple as making cars go further on a gallon of gas, and initiatives as harnessing the power of the wind and sun were completely overlooked. completely overlooked. Americans already believe that their Congress lacks the guts to stand up to big oil. No surprise there. Today's vote proves they are obviously right, said Carl Pope, Sierra Club executive director. The bill replaces the national moratorium with a tiered system. The moratorium line would stop at 100 miles from 50 to 100 miles. States would have to actively oppose drilling every 5 years. States could petition for drilling within 50 miles of the coast, and there's further links on there. And it says, at a time when Americans are looking for answers to America's energy needs, Congress punted, says Pope. They billed this as Energy Week, but sadly, the only idea they could muster is sticking more oil and gas rings off our coast. And this is just insane. Just insane. Could you imagine having a drilling rig 3 miles off the coast? I mean, the damage that happens out in the deep of sea is horrific. But, I mean, do you want a bloody Exxon Valdez incident, you know, and just off of Nogales? I mean, come on. And I really cannot understand the cognitive dissonance that goes into the concept that we're still subsidizing the oil companies as they're raping us every single day. Every single day. It's insane. It's absolutely insane. I got sent a bunch of stuff from our buddy Gene. And he sent me a thing on a study here that detects prejudice in the human brain. That looks interesting. U.S. scientists say they found people view members of social outgroups such as homeless people with disgust and not a feeling of all fellow humanity. 24 Princeton University undergraduates viewed color photographs of different social groups, as well as images of objects such as the space shuttle, a sports car, a cemetery, and an overflowing toilet. The pictures, say psychology researchers Lucanna Harris and Susan Fisk, were designed to elicit emotions of pride, envy, pity, or disgust, as derived from the stereotype content model, which predicts differentiated prejudices. The MPFC is only activated, medical prefrontal cortex, or MPFC, brain imaging determined if the students chose the correct emotion illustrated by the picture. The MPFC is only activated when people think about themselves or another human being. When viewing a picture representing disgust, however, researchers say no significant MPFC brain activity was recorded, providing evidence that while individuals may consciously see members of social outgroups as people, the brain processes social outgroups as something less than human. But scientists say that they believe brain imaging provides a more accurate depiction of such prejudice than verbal reporting usually used in research studies. The findings will appear in the forthcoming issue of Psychological Science. So, you know, when we talk about, you know, things like, you know, prejudices and whatnot as human rights, there you go. You have these people thinking of them as something less than human. I love this kind of stuff. I think it's great. I think it's just awesome. So, let's see. What else have I been sent? We've done all that stuff. I think I'm going to talk about the future of this here horn. As we said, that this program was a bit of an experiment, and this program will return in coming weeks. But as we all have tasks to do in the growing of this little, you know, experiment that we have here, there are tasks to be done. So that's why I decided to do this as a bit of an experiment and see how it goes. But next week, over the next couple of weeks, you're going to see a whole bunch of new things happening at the Horn website. A lot more content, a lot more up-to-date news. Also, I spoke last night that there's going to be some street team gear kind of stuff for websites and also for printing for people that want to help us spread the word about the Head On Radio Network and what it is that we're trying to do here with Conversation Radio. Bruce is providing me with some flyers and things, PDFs and whatnot, I do believe, that will be downloadable so you can print them out and hand them out to your friends. I'll have some web widgets put together. So if you have a blog or a website, you can show your support of this ever-growing experiment. And things like rotators, little bits of images that show what's on the horn right now and right from your own website that can go straight to listening live, which I think is going to be really, really cool. And like I said, content like more up-to-date news throughout the day. And I'm told I was minorly premature, but I'm told that I wasn't too bad of a boy. But yes, over the next week or so, you're going to see a whole lot more happening on the horn, especially as far as our web presence, and hopefully be working some new things, maybe even in with our new friends, the QNN folks, who Quality News Network has just turned out to be just a wonderful partnership, if you ask me. Really, really good content every day, useful stuff like the Windows alert stuff and virus alert stuff. I don't know if I even hear that kind of stuff on any of the other services, you know, as I go trompsing around the internet and take sample of the things that are out there in internet radio land. So if you have any ideas, if you have any requests, you know, drop me an email, since I kind of handle all that kind of web stuff here for the horn. And that email address again is john@fourthestateradio.com. And tomorrow night on said fourthestateradio.com at 10 o'clock, Bruce Birch will rejoin me this week, and we will be doing, a whole bunch of stuff, as we always do, taking a look at the stories that didn't get covered this week, having a bit of a laugh at the old absurdity of the situation, because I don't know, man, when Bruce and I get together, it all just kind of gets a little crazy. But I'll have the interview with Stephen Sewell from earlier this week, speaking about drama and theater in this time in history. And that's gonna be all kind of really, really neat. I have no idea what Bruce has lined up. He probably doesn't either. He's been doing radio all week as well. Six straight days of radio, Bruce. What are we, nuts? Who's going to become the Tom Hartman of the horn first? Who's going to pull the first nine-hour shift? Well said, well said, well said, Gail. We already have her. It's Agnes. She's already done those kind of shifts. And Bob goes, "You need to ask." Hey, yeah, well, I stand well corrected. But well, I bet Bob's got something fantastic lined up in the playlist. So we're going to go and take our last break before we come back and wrap things up on the final segment of the test run of Foxed Up. I hope you've enjoyed what we've tried to put together here this week. Monday was interesting, but I might explain where my brain was, because it sure wasn't here. let's take that break, Bob. What do you have in the playlist? You're with Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network. Hello, everybody in the chat room. I'm glad that you stuck around. If there's anybody still there, you're listening to John Fox. We will be back very, very shortly. Like I said, you can get a hold of me, john@fourthestateradio.com. Hello? And there it is, right on. It's late, folks. It's Friday. It's been a huge week. We'll be right back.
dock on the wide Delaware. Then the ship ran aground and the oil got away. And they did not report the big spill on that day. It was hundreds of thousands of gallons galore, stretching 32 miles down the Delaware shore. There were geese in the marshes out looking for food. They got stuck where they stood in the oncoming crude. And it's oil, oil, drifting to the sea. Oil, oil, don't buy it at the station. You can have it now for free. Just come on down to the shoreline where the water used to be. In the well-charted waters of the Nantucket Shoals was a ship run aground full of oil, we were told. In a week's worth of rough winter weather and waves, the boat started cracking and it could not be saved. It was 7.6 million gallons this time. Consider the danger and think of the crime as it poured out a slick stretching into the tide. Over 100 miles, and yes, it came deep, it came wide, and it's oil, oil, oh, pouring in the sea. Oil, oil, oh, don't buy it at the station. You can have it now. Just come on down to the shoreline where the water used to be. There's talk of some writing found in the ship's log saying one of the helmsman's unfit for his job and the ship's gyro compass was...
When Bruce and I filled in for Bob Kincaid, we didn't know what to expect, but we sure didn't expect a call from the decider.
Told Walmart to sell the Easter egg die kits, you know, the ones with the resurrection egg, we decided at Camp David that we were going to support Walmart and go with what the Lord told them and buy some of them resurrection egg kits. And you know, I found the resurrection egg. God spoke to me through that egg, and God told me that I am the fourth member of the Holy Trinity. We're calling it the Holy Quadraphonic. And so now I'm the fourth voice of the Holy Trinity. So now I got four voices in my head. I have the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost and the Decider. I'm the Decider. I get to decide.
Don't miss Head On with Bob Kincaid weekdays 7 to 10 p.m. and Fourth Estate Radio with John Fox and Bruce Birch Saturdays 10 p.m. Eastern Time on the Head On Radio Network.
Place your hand on your heart. Measure the beats. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's how long it takes to protect your child's life. 5 heartbeats. That's how long it takes to learn about the dangers of pesticides that could be found in your child's classroom. Asthma, lower IQ scores, and cancer have all been linked to prolonged exposure to these toxins. But if you knew there were toxin-free alternatives to pesticides, if you knew you had a voice regarding their use, if you knew you could take action that would make your child's classroom safe today, wouldn't you do something? In a heartbeat. Log on to earthshare.org today and find out how you can help. A public service message brought to you by EarthShare and the Ad Council.
Here's a test for you. Listen and identify the following water-saving devices in your home. Ready? That's the sound of water-saving device number 54, your toothbrush. Turning the water off while you brush your teeth saves more than 1,000 gallons a year. Next, that's your clock, water-saving device number 23. Use it to reduce your shower by 5 minutes and save nearly 9,000 gallons a year. Try this one. Right. It's water-saving device number 83, your washing machine. Washing full loads of laundry or dishes can save thousands of gallons of water each year. Last clue. That's you, logging on to wateruseitwisely.com, a fun website filled with hundreds of water-saving tips from your local water utility and the Metropolitan Washington Council of Governments. There are a number of ways to save water, and they all start with you. Water. Use it wisely.
Great piano sound on that. Welcome back to Fox Up, everybody. We're going to wrap this thing up for this little test week that we've had here, and really appreciate everybody hanging out. It's been great fun. It's been a great bit of experience for me to do this little solo thing here for a few days. But until we relaunch this baby in a few weeks, I think it's time to start getting mean about being green, and I'm not even a fan of the term green. I just think it's doing what's right, you know, and if you are one of those real Christian people, that whole caretaker of the earth thing. But, you know, it's really, you know, so many times a lot of the stuff that I've even covered this week, you see that, you know, we the American people, have made it pretty clear that things need to be done regarding the environment. And our legislators are not doing what we're asking them to do. So, I mean, it's really time to just start getting a little bit angry about it, I think. You know, don't go cutting people's heads off or nothing, but, you know, none of this backing down anymore. I mean, it's too important. I mean, we're looking at this going to really start affecting your kids. You're a riot. Oh, Bob's been just playing such great stuff. All very, very fitting. And we've been letting it run a little long because I've been feeling a little tired and lazy tonight. But, you know, it's Friday night. Need some music. Turn it up a little bit, man. I love it. So support your local dairy, support your green grocer. Go organic where you can. Find out where they are. You'll feel better for it. And if you got kids, they'll be healthier for it. You'll be healthier for it. I'm telling you, Rice Krispies are different with organic, unhomogenized whole milk. I'm telling you, it's just a completely different experience. And that was the new Christie Minstrels before. Bob says that comes from his childhood. And that was brilliant. I loved it. But you know what? We're getting ready to get out of here. And big thank yous to my producer, Bob Kincaid. You just rock. What a week. And, of course, the District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights, the boys in West Virginia, are building the American dream each and every day and put everything that you hear on the horn, on the air, and we'd be dead in the water without them. So good on you, boys. You know, and most importantly, each one of you that listens and everybody that sends stories, their input, their support, it's great. Just keeps us one.